boys and girls wanna hear a true story. Saturday night was at this real wild party. They had the liquor overflowing the cup. About 5-6 strippers trying to work for a buck. Then I took one girl outside with me. Her name was Lonnie. She went to junior high with me. I said, why you up in there dancing with cash? I guess a whole lot's changed since I seen you last. She said,
what would you do if your son was at home? Crying all alone on the bedroom floor, cause he's hungry. And the only way to feed him is to sleep with a man for a little bit of money. And his daddy's gone. So we're smoking rock now, in and out of lockdown. I ain't got a job now. So for you, this is just a good time. But for me, this is what I call life.
Girl, you ain't the only one with a baby. That's no excuse to be living all crazy. Then she looked me right square in the eye. I said, every day I wake up hoping to die. She said, it's got I know about pay cuts. Me and my sister ran away.
First of all, they was super judgy on this song, all right?
Yeah, I mean, after we've been in the office so much, it's like, I'm not even mad at you. I understand why you're here. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that song was like a real intense song, smoking rocks now. Like, whoa, what's going on?
Well, I hope nobody's out here just smoking rocks in 2022, but I know there are people that's doing it. But it was a little judgmental. But that Claudette so fine, though, you know, I don't even give a damn. Fuck it. Let it be judgmental. 5'5 with the brown eyes, you know?
That's a fact.
Some things you got to just let go.
I don't know, because they broke up a friendship, though, right? Because it was when she was married to one and messing with the other one and left one and went with the other one. Like, that was a whole messy situation with Sydney High.
She had that good. But you know what? At the same time, though, it's like, all right, well, listen, they mess with each other. So it's not like we could just be mad at her. He didn't have to give her the dick. You know? He gave it to each. He made a choice to give her the dick.
I feel like the whole group is at fault, though.
The whole group, he was with the other dude. How he get involved?
Well, not the whole group. No, the guy that got cheated on, I think he ended up having like an alcoholism problem.
Yes,
or
he did.
Like that.
He was dealing with alcohol abuse.
Yeah. Damn.
Real, I mean, Chloe, man.
She was so bad though. She fit that mold of like, why you doing this? You ain't got to live like this. You ain't got to be in here.
So let's talk about that, right? Because it also in the first verse, somebody was trying to save somebody, right? It went from trying to save him to judging.
That's how it goes. You try to save him first, and then when you can't save him, you judge him.
That sound about right. How we feeling, fellas?
Feeling good, man. I'm happy we back together recording again. We all missing one of the amigos tonight. Bree's not with us tonight. You know, she's a little under the weather. But, So, you know, I always look forward to Wednesday nights, man.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Figuring out this schedule for these next few weeks, man. We're gonna do the big together. You know, we're gonna keep rocking and rolling. What was I about to say? Shit. Man, I've got my car back. I'm happy about that, man. Like, I had an SUV the last few days. We were talking a little bit before the show, talking about how having a little bit more space is cool. I noticed that a lot of people get out your way, you know, so.
It's always, I mean, we city guys, so, you know, we went from all them years of public transportation and Ubers, but now that you got your vehicle, it's like, nah, I need my vehicle. That's important right there.
Yeah, so, I don't know, you know, after like a day or two, like, you feel like it's yours now. So, ended up getting my car back. That was cool, but I felt like I was in a whole smaller vehicle. So, anytime I get a rental now, expect it to be an SUV.
I'm taking my driving class tomorrow. If that makes y'all feel any better,
really,
I'm in there, baby. 3:00.
How do we get to this point?
I told you they had the Groupon. You know how I feel
so
about Groupon.
You already got your permit though, right?
Yeah. No, you have to have your permit. You can't even take the class without having your permit.
I don't know if it's different in New York. Is it mandatory or are you just doing it to like kind of get yourself prepared for the road exam?
No, it's not mandatory. I could just go take the road test right now if I wanted to. But
you want
to
refresh yourself.
Yeah, I gotta brush up, you know what I'm saying, work on my parallel parking and whatnot. The 3-foot
but when you
turn.
Get a car, you know we calling it a company car, right? Word to M.
That's a fact. Now, the only reason I ask because in Maryland it's mandatory. It doesn't matter how much experience you have. You have to go to driving school for like I think 2 weeks or 3 weeks, something like that.
You know it's gonna be the bullshit though, right?
Why?
I'm cause I wait to all of y'all motherfuckers out of New York to go do this shit.
You ain't got no choice now.
Well, it's down to deals. Deals is my last hope.
Shout out to fucking deals, yo.
Facts. Shout out to deals, man.
Fucking deals, man.
Deals helped me down during the movie shoot because we had to have like you know the new thing that SAG is doing now is you have to have a with a COVID compliance officer on set now, and it can't be anybody that's a part of production. Like you can't have no other roles. Like that's your one job has to be COVID compliance officer. So my man Dills went and said, "I got you, big bro." Took the test, did it. Now he linked in. He could be a COVID compliance officer on any SAG set out here. That's how real it is. Getting them checks
that's
now.
Dope.
Oh yeah, facts. Because the class is only like $50. If y'all want to get a little extra change out there, you know, y'all want to be around some of these movie sets. Not just y'all. I'm just talking about the whole shooting the shit family. But, you know, it's like a $50 course. It's like an hour. They give you a little quiz at the end. But then you get to work as a COVID compliance officer on movie sets. Like, there's a whole listing. And when motherfuckers is shooting in your town, you know what I'm saying? Your name is on the list. They'll go through the list. You know, you get that call. Get that check.
And it's all online?
Well, the class is online. You just take, it's like an hour class you got to take online. But then you go to the act. They'll send you to movie sets. So, let's say Marvel shooting a new movie. They gotta have a projection that big is gonna have multiple COVID compliance officers. But yeah, that's what it is. Once you take the class, you pass the quiz, then you'll be listed. They'll list you on this. There's a website they have, and it shows your location and everything where you at with it. And then they'll call you like on you know if movie once movie sets and again. If you are a SAG project, you have to have a COVID compliance officer now. Until they change that, you have to have it. But I doubt that's going to be changed anytime soon.
So question, right? When you show up on the set, you showing up like Day-Day and Friday? Like, saying? I shut this whole shit down.
Oh, the COVID compliance officer? I mean, technically they could. They could shut your whole shit down. If you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. So yeah, they it's crazy, but the COVID compliance officer probably got just as much power as the executive producer on set. Because they can shut all this shit the fuck down.
And the next question, are you considered an op if you're a COVID compliance officer?
I would say no, just because, you know, it's people's safety and you know, I mean, we're generally clean brothers anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, as a faction. But in general, you know, we done been around a lot of nasty motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't consider them the ops. Somebody that's a nasty motherfucker might consider them the ops. But nah, when you clean and you want to make sure your surroundings is clean, because it's not just like, so basically what they do is they test everybody in the cast and in the crew pretty much daily. Like I fucking had to do fucking 11 COVID tests in 11 days type shit. So they test everybody. They pass out hand sanitizer. They sanitize like different community areas, some of the equipment, things like that. But for the most part, I'm honestly, it's really an easy fucking gig, to be honest with you. And you know what I'm saying? You'll get a nice little check. So
Write that down, y'all. Give me all the jewels.
Yeah, definitely. I'm gonna look into that because that's a fact. Because you know, I did that little bit of extra work, but now you know, I might come in there as a compliance officer, like you said, and just be one of them dudes that abuse your power and shit.
I shut this shit down.
Like this shit don't look right over here in the corner over here. Do you know what they give you? They probably give you that little small badge and shit that you got to flip around everywhere.
Right? Like hey, I don't need credentials. I don't need them credentials.
Yeah, who's wilding out over there? Oh, that's the compliance officer. Yeah, yeah. He an asshole like that. Watch.
Well, you start feeling yourself and shit, nigga.
Yeah.
I run this shit. You just live here.
Like the director. The word. Director.
Word.
He turned into Soulja Boy. Director.
Facts. Fuck is you. don't give a fuck, nigga.
He stole my whole flow.
Now pass me my motherfucking gloves, nigga. Pass my gloves so I can get these tests done, motherfucker.
All right. Did you get my snacks?
Right.
You got my snacks?
It's crazy because Dills really did have the power to shut the whole set down. That's crazy.
Like Dills was over there. Dills was making other deals. You want me to shut this shit down or not?
What?
You let me know.
Right.
Well, however you want to take it, that's how we could take it.
Dills walking around unplugging shit. You know what? I don't like your attitude. Unplug all this shit right.
Exactly.
Here.
No camera
wrap
today.
This whole shit up.
No camera today. We can only get audio today. Fuck that shit.
Right.
It's only audio.
The camera's a little dirty. No.
Yeah.
No.
What's that dust? Is that dust I see, nigga? What? Nah, man. This whole department is shut down. Fuck that. Y'all not eating lunch either.
Yo.
Go home.
Wow. Shit is wild. Let's get into something, yo. Yo. It's like kind of two subjects I want to kind of jump into, right? Capri Sun had a recall because I think they had like some cleaning shit inside the Capri Suns.
Yep.
Which is fucked up because Capri Suns is like the staple. You know, you never get enough juice, but you always want to fuck them up. But then now they got some shit in there. Like, can't have Capri Suns now?
You can't fucking do shit apparently, my nigga, because we talking about 5,000 cases, and I buy Capri Sun for my god kids all the time. So that shit hit home with me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with the makers of Capri Sun, but y'all need to get y'all shit together. Just keeping it real.
Nah, that's a fact. Because even as adults, we go into my house, we see them pouches in there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll grab a pouch before you grab a soda or some shit.
Bro, at the barbecues, I see the Pepsi right next to the Capri Sun. I'm going for the Capri Sun first.
Right. I'm going to grab a pouch or two first. You know, I'm the one that you're going to have to say, those are for the kids. Leave it alone. Those are for the kids. Because I'm definitely getting one or two of those.
My mother said that shit to me all the time.
I hope it's an isolated incident, man. I hope it's not something that leads to, you know, a larger thing. Because like you said, man, so many kids love them and shit. We still love them as adults.
Facts.
Somebody
else got a recall on some shit, too. I forget what it was. Who it was? It was I gotta look it up because it was some other shit with the kids too. It was I think they made Cribs or some shit like that, and they had a recall on some shit. Because I'm like, it was like Cribs or babe something for the babies. I'm gonna look it up. But I just remember because I saw both of those things back to back, and in my mind I'm just like, damn, yo, they fucking up the kids right now with all these fucking recalls.
They skipping, man. They cutting corners on things, man.
Well, that's something. Nah. That's the Capri Sun shit. That's somebody's negligence. Yeah. Somebody wasn't doing their fucking job. There's no way you telling me some cleaning supplies got into 5,000 cases. That's negligence on the job. Somebody got to be fired behind that. I'm sorry.
Word.
I'm not for motherfuckers losing their jobs, but if you out here fucking getting poison and toxins and the shit that these kids is, you know, gotta consume. That's
not
a problem.
The Capri Suns. Not the Capri Suns. That's when you draw the line.
Capri Suns, my nigga. I draw the lines at the Capri Sun, bro.
What's your favorite one?
I like the strawberry kiwi.
Oh, I was about to say that's the one right there.
Fruit punch is good too, but strawberry kiwi is my favorite.
Yeah, I can't remember the flavors. You get it off now.
the strawberry kiwi. I agree with Tripp on that because that's the same flavor I get in Snapple, so I know that's the joint.
Snapple, I like the mango something.
The mango madness.
Yeah, I fuck with mango a lot.
Yeah, I like mango. I ain't gonna hold you. Mango's my shit.
You know what's my shit now that I'm older, but I'm scared. Like, man, this shit tastes like straight diabetes, but it's delicious. When you get that good half and half lemonade and iced tea,
Arnold Palmer.
The Arnold Palmer, yeah.
Let me get that Arnold Palmer.
That should be sweet as fuck, but bad is good.
Facts.
I ain't gonna lie, I've been on the Arnold Palmer lately too.
You ever had, you know how the Chinese restaurants make the iced tea and lemonade? You ever had the fruit punch from there? That shit is stronger than Kool-Aid, son. Them niggas.
Well, you see what they mix that shit in, right?
Bruh. Son, every time, like, I gotta, like, pour half of that shit out and put, like, and make two and mix it with water because that shit it'd be so much sugar in that motherfucker. It's like, yo, you're gonna have diabetes if you drink this whole thing straight.
Yeah, they, I've seen what is mixed in because they be having them in them big jugs. and then they put them into the plastic containers. But yeah, wherever they mix them shits at, they putting as much sugar as Shorty and House Party did. Remember when they was about to leave for the party and Shorty just tipped the whole sugar over in there?
Yeah, yeah. Bro.
Violating. And he probably didn't even mix it well, too. You gotta mix it well.
Bro, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Well. But
I was pretty good at Kool-Aid, though.
Yeah, that's fine, but this shit is like, this shit is like Eric said, like, they poured the whole fucking the Costco bag of sugar in that motherfucker. Like,
niggas pour Fabuloso in that motherfucker. But yeah, so which goes into my next thing, school, right? Because school's just started back, yo. You fucking know school is back because there's no, like, yo, it's trying to just travel places is nuts. I ain't realized it so much until I had to, like, it's so many things that I just was, I can't even say that. I'm lying. I worked on the college campus when I was in New York, so I'm lying. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I've validly been around campuses for years. But, yeah, man. These kids is back, man.
Y'all be safe out there, kids. All them kids and all the parents. Keep your kids safe. You know what I'm saying? On this back, yeah, and back and forth to school shit. Because it's a lot of motherfuckers out here, you know, just doing ignorant shit still. You know, it don't matter. Yeah. How many fucking episodes of the podcast we talk about this shit? I hear it other places, people talking about it. It's still people out here doing ignorant shit. So, students, y'all be careful when y'all going back and forth to school. Make sure you looking and make sure you're aware of your surroundings. And parents, make sure y'all checking in with y'all kids, man.
That's a fact, man. Protect them babies, man.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to that Sanchez Show shirt you got on there. I see you.
It's a prototype. It's something I'm working on. It's a prototype. And we got some shooting the shit joints. I told Sean, I mentioned it, you know what I'm saying? We got some shit. We gonna come up with some shit for the fall. You know that for a fact, man.
Word. Gotta get some merch, man. Gotta get some merch. Yeah, I gotta hit you with the shit like, oh, I don't got that.
Sean been stunning anyway, because I need him to send me some product. And he been fucking.
He be having the Delancey Street joints. So he be like, he be having one of ones. He don't even do extras right now. That's a one of one. You're not gonna see this nowhere.
I'm gonna just start talking shit every show until this nigga give me a hoodie.
All right.
He'd be on his Dapper Dan shit. Nah, you're not gonna find this nowhere. You know, you ain't gonna see this nowhere else.
I'm letting you know.
Yo, Trip, I thought about you today, my brother. I saw Melba's on the new BET show that's about to come out.
Boy, son, niggas is outside.
And I saw what's her name? Shorty that play basketball. She raps too.
Nikki,
I can't think of her name for. She was on the Point Guards documentary.
I thought about
sports. I'm like, yo, look at this Trip right here. I know Trip has something to do with these right here.
Come on, you know we outside. I'm tight too because I was supposed to go out. Shout out to Nikki. I was supposed to go support her today because it was playing at the Rucker. They had the Tracy Morgan shit. Tracy Morgan was out there today, but the weather kind of threw me off because it was supposed to rain and it didn't rain. So that shit kind of threw me off. But big shout out to Nikki. That's dope. Being on the Point Guards, the New York City Point Guards. If you guys haven't checked it out, y'all definitely should give that a watch. It's on Showtime, and it's just featuring, you know, a lot of niggas forget New York. You know what I'm saying? Like Madison Square Garden ain't the mecca for no reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, New York been had hoopers, been had ballers, and you know, New York really kind of all that handles and extra shit. That's New York. New York started all that shit. You know what I'm saying? So, motherfuckers was doing the fucking Sham Guard in the fucking sixth grade. You know what I'm saying? Like,
bro, if yo, the Sham Guard was definitely the move, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
Nothing else.
Like, we had the fucking Point Guards. Like, people don't realize, like, guys like Mark Jackson, you know, now, you know, y'all might know him as a broadcaster or maybe even still going back to the coach of the Warriors before Steve Kerr took over. But Mark Jackson, you know, he was one of them ones, you know, in high school, New York City, college, you know, rookie of the year with the Knicks. Mark Jackson was one of them ones. Rod Strickland, Kenny Anderson, you know, just so many fucking greats that come from, you know, New York City. You know, Stephon Marbury, you know, like New York City, you know, we produce a lot of fucking talent. You know, now, granted, not everybody gets to the craziest of heights, but you know, when you look at how cats, a lot of these cats in high school and college coming up, yeah, we got some guys.
That's a fact. That's a great documentary for somebody who hasn't seen it yet. Super entertaining, super informative, because there was some shit on there I didn't even know. And, you know, as much as I love the game basketball, I didn't like the Kenny Anderson shit. To me, is crazy that his coach, because he was a freshman, wouldn't play him in the first quarter. And yet Kenny Anderson was still averaging 24 points a game. We're only playing three quarters, bro.
That's what's
in the show.
He won a state championship as a freshman, averaging 24 points a game, and his coach refused to play him in the first quarter because that was during that era when it was like freshmen weren't even supposed to be on the varsity team.
Yeah.
But he was so good, they couldn't deny him. Then the coach was like, well, since you're not supposed to be here, I'm not going to start you and let you play the first quarter. So you know what that is, bro? You sit in the whole first quarter, you watching everything go down for your team, you step in, and now you bust ass for the next three quarters. You averaging over 20 a game as a freshman, bro.
That's hate.
You know what I'm saying? Like you led your team to a state championship as a freshman. They still went and played you in the first quarter. All year, you not playing first quarter, you got them all the way to the championship.
Yeah.
And then the next year, he wins high school player of the year as a sophomore, bro. That's like on, you know, obviously LeBron is always gonna be the outlier of everything, but that's on some LeBron type shit, bro.
Yeah. Not me like Kenny Smith.
Yeah, but the doc is ill, bro. The doc is super, super dope, man. I love how they tied it all together, too, with the older generation, like you said, the Mark Jacksons, but then slowly brought it up with Rod Strickland, Kenny Anderson, leading up to Steph. And I agree with Stephen A. I always said Steph is the best point guard to come out of New York. You know, circumstances affected his career. But talent-wise, we always knew. Like, even with the bad New York years, Steph, for his career, is still 20-8, bro.
Yeah, Steph was a top 25 player, you know what I'm saying, during his prime. Like, Steph was one of them guys in the league. And, I mean, we don't even got to speak about what he did in China. Like, the man right. The man has statues. Not right. Statue. Not a statue. He has statues of him in China. So, you got to respect fucking Stephon Marbury. And you know what I'm saying, listen, as ugly as them shits is.
The strawberries.
But you know what I'm saying? He did a lot of good with them sneakers too. You know what I'm saying? So I always give Steph his props. I wish his cousin Sebastian would have turned out better, because Sebastian was one of them ones in high school. You know what I'm saying? Getting drafted.
Their whole names, though. You gotta say whole names, because people don't understand how dope these people are. You know what I'm saying? Like
Sebastian Telfair. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to him.
Yep. He was on the cover of Slam with LeBron. They was both in high school in their high school jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Facts.
But nah, it's super dope, man. Everything Steph did. I heard him say on the interview too. They was asking him. He put to bed that rumor about him and KG didn't get along. He talked about what happened in Minnesota, and he was saying it wasn't that him and KG didn't get along. It was just that he came into the NBA already with a business mindset because of everything his brothers had experienced on their journey. And he told the front office, he was like, yo, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't want to stay in Minnesota long term. I don't want to be here. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? Either y'all could trade me or I'm probably going to leave once my contract is up. And he said, he was like, it had nothing to do with the organization. It had nothing to do with KG, because people always speculated that he was mad that KG got like that $100 million contract and he wasn't going to be eligible to get that $100 million because of the way that the collective bargaining agreement had changed. And he was like, it had nothing to do with that. He was like, because they was going to give me the most I could get anyway. No matter where I went, they was going to still offer me the most. He was like, it's just I was not ready to commit 5 more years of my life to being in Minnesota. I didn't want to be there.
Can you blame him?
Nah, I don't blame him.
You know what I'm saying? And it's no slight to Kevin Garnett, because I fucking got Kevin Garnett in my top 3 power forwards of all time. So it's, you know, nothing against Garnett, but yeah, when you from the biggest market in the world, pretty much, and you going into the NBA understanding that, you know what I'm saying, your money ain't gonna be the same. Like, yeah, you gonna make money, but you ain't gonna make as much money as you gonna make in LA. You know what I'm saying, in New York, in Atlanta, like. In those bigger markets, and he understood that early, and was like, "Fuck it," you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shit, people don't go to them fucking teams now. They don't want to go.
Nobody, yeah, unless you get drafted there. Nobody has ever signed with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Joe Smith might have been the only motherfucker that ever did it.
Yeah.
And they had to break. They had to break salary cap rules to be able to sign them. But
that's why they couldn't get nobody to come to Cleveland to play with LeBron the first
time. The Kings, nobody want to fuck with the Kings.
Sacramento, yeah, you either drafted or get traded there. That's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he even in on point guards, he said it too. He was like, I was groomed into it as a business. So he was like, you know, I didn't enjoy it the way other high school kids did because I already had my mindset on getting to the league, getting this money, do right by my family, capitalize on this opportunity. So he already knew at a young age, like, this is a business, bro. This ain't nothing more, nothing less to me.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's how these owners look at it. So you better look at it coming into this league because, you know, the average NBA career is short. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, when you see these motherfuckers that be lasting 15 years, those are rare cases. There's a lot of motherfuckers in the NBA that don't get past year one. You know what I'm saying? Let alone 5 years, 10 years. Like, those are exceptions to the rules when you see these guys. That's why guys make the Hall of Fame. Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, those are the elite of the elite talents. But, you know, there's what was 13 men on every roster. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, dead ass. No. You know what the true test is for you to be like the 11th man on the bench, like those last few guys on the bench that always end up on the team. Those are motherfuckers that been getting money on the low and that you don't even be paying attention to.
Well, yeah, you got them niggas like James Jones, them type of Haslam. You know what I'm saying? Niggas that just, you know, just veterans that understand the game of basketball and they understand what it takes to remain on an NBA roster. Which is most important because a lot of these cats don't understand what it takes to stay on. That's why they bounce around. Some guys, remember the Knicks had with the kid Chris Copeland came into the league when he was fucking 28. You know what I'm saying? He did about 4 years. You know what I'm saying? Before ultimately he was back out of the league. Guys go back and forth. You know what I'm saying? All the time. Like this fucking hundreds of niggas that you never even heard of that was on the NBA roster at some point or another. But they didn't have the staying power as a LeBron or Kobe or, you know what I'm saying, Mike, any one of those guys.
Bro, I saw that shit just doing it with the G League, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of those guys, like, they would be there for years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's kind of like a farm type of league. You're not really making bread like that. Nope. You got a family and all that, and then it's like, you know.
Got a hope. You know what I'm saying? You get that call. It was a dude. It was like a big deal. He got called up to the Lakers a couple of years ago. The dunk.
He was like 28 or some shit.
Yeah, he was old. He been in G League for a long time.
Yeah, his career in the G League, yeah.
I forget his name. But you know what I'm saying? But yeah, you gotta fucking try to hang on. And hopefully you can get to that bag and get you some minutes. You know, sometimes it works. You get like a Flip Murray kind of dude, you know what I'm saying, who was able to latch on and get a contract, and sometimes it don't. You know what I'm saying?
We ain't real talk, all it takes, you know, for these dudes that are hoop, all it takes is one good year, bro.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? If you a dude who got a specific skill set, you can shoot, you can get to the basket, you got a handle. All it takes is that one good year, because Jeremy Lin, like you said, Chris Copeland, right? A dude like Duncan Robinson, right? One good year shooting a basketball get you a contract.
Yep, $55 million he got, right?
Right. Like, yeah, so that's really what it comes down to. You know, for the mega guys, they chasing legacies and rings, and they gonna keep getting contracts. We know that. Shout out to Braun. You see Braun got another deal. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But if you a dude who wasn't a first round pick or never got drafted, all you need is that one good year, bro. You land in the right spot, get one good year, you're going to get paid.
Gary Payton the second. Shot. He just got paid. He was in the G League. Got that chip, balled his ass off this year, got the ring with Golden State, got him a 3-year deal out of it with Portland, I believe it is.
Yep, with Portland.
So, you know, it definitely happened. Shout out to the NBA for retiring Bill Russell's jersey throughout the league. I thought that was really dope.
All right.
That's fire.
Well, basically, everybody that has it right now set in. But if anybody else coming after this, they're not going to be able to get the number.
No, that's it. Yeah, if you're already wearing, because there's a couple of guys that were wearing the jersey currently, you can rock out with it, you know what I'm saying, for the rest of your career if you want. But there's nobody else coming into the league is going to get number 6. And then once these guys, whoever has the number 6, once they are out of the league, that's it. So we won't see. I'll probably say it's going to take like another maybe like 10 years probably before it's like the number's completely out of the league, because there's a couple of guys that win number 6 right now.
23 should have been gone, though. A lot of dudes been wearing 23 that have been like,
Nah, they're gonna do something. Worthy. They're gonna do something with 23 at some point. Yeah. But I honestly, I ain't gonna front, and I've never bought a Bron jersey. This year, I was actually thinking about it just to have it with the Bill Russell patch on it, because the jersey's gonna have the Bill Russell 6 on it. So you know what I'm saying? That'd be an ill collector's item to have 10 years from now, 15 years from now, when Bron is retired. I think he'll be retired. I don't know. I mean, Bron, yeah. Bron acting like he playing that he 50, but
him and you know he what in saying? Competition with Brady. Brady said, "Fuck that! I'm gonna come back, get an extra year."
Yeah, it'll be an ill collector's item to have the Bron number 6 jersey with the number 6 patch on it.
Facts.
Yeah, man. He definitely gonna be number 1 this year too.
Yeah, well, Bron is doing his thing, man. You can't, like, you know, love him or hate him, you gotta respect him. This motherfucker is a billionaire while still playing. And he's and not like he on his last leg playing either. Like, LeBron is still one of the best players. This motherfucker almost led the league in scoring last year. And the only reason he didn't get it is because he sat out the last two games. If he just and that's why it'd be killing me when motherfuckers be trying to paint that narrative that LeBron just be fucking chasing stats. Because this was a perfect opportunity for him to just chase another fucking accolade. All he had to do was be in the last two games. You know what I'm saying? But it's not, certain things ain't on LeBron's agenda right now.
Well, I mean, I think I don't want to say he was chasing stats. I mean, I think he's trying to, of course, you keep building a resume, bro. But he also smart enough to know, like, is it worth playing these last two games that mean nothing for us? Exactly. I can just start letting my body recoup for next year. You know what I'm saying? So I think it was a little bit of both. I think he sees it from the standpoint of I'm going to continue to boost the resume and make it even tougher for people to keep me out that GOAT conversation.
Because he'll pass Kareem this year.
Right, he'll pass Kareem this year. He'll be number one there. He'll be top. He's, what, already top 10 in the major statistical categories, right? Mm-hmm. Rebounding, yeah. Assist, all that. So
like
now,
top 10 in, like, damn everything.
And, right. So now, assists, like I said, he'll use, he is.
Rebounds not yet. He's got some time.
He'll use the next 2 years now to put himself in those positions now. And then you see where it lands at that point. He'll be 39. If all goes right, Bronny keep dunking on dudes the way he's dunking on dudes. Maybe Bronny will be in the league by then. And then, you know, Bron figure out what the next move is at 39.
Mm-hmm.
And for all you motherfuckers in the media that has some shit to say to my man Bronny, take his dick out your mouth. Like,
hey, yo.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah, that shit is corny too, bro. I don't understand motherfuckers critiquing a high school player, bro.
Oh.
Like, we criticizing a high schooler now?
Because motherfuckers do anything.
That's what we at, because of who it is. Because of who it is. We know this, like.
Yeah.
He has some phenomenal fucking kids that can play basketball as well.
If his father wasn't LeBron James, you would have just said that was a hell of a dunk, and left it at that. But because his father is LeBron James, your father would have did this and that. Like, nah, fuck all that.
I hate it.
And it's just I get so sick of people in the media just saying shit just so they could get a boost. You know what I'm saying? Like. We talking about a kid at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, let that man... You know how much pressure Bronny James has on him? Because his father's name is LeBron James, and he's one of the greatest basketball players ever. The amount of pressure that is on that kid right now to be anything remotely close to fucking great. You know what I'm saying? Like, but... It's so crazy the amount that he has to deal with right now. He's going to continue to have to deal with just because of who his father is.
You know, that's a fact. You got everybody who steps on the court with Bronny is trying to bust his ass.
Yep.
So he already got to, you know, he got to deal with that. He got to deal with the legacy of where his pops was at that age. Because at this age, Bron was the number one high school player in the country. So he got to deal with that shit too. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, he's a high schooler, bro. We don't even know if he loved the game like that. Remember a couple years ago, Snoop's son was like a highly touted receiver, and then he got to UCLA and was like, I really don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Yep. So you want to go model and shit.
Right. How we know Bronny, you know what I'm saying, in 2 years might be like, yo, you know what? Like, basketball's cool, but it's not my passion. I'm not, you know, I'm not in love with this shit the way my father was in love with it.
Yeah.
Or he might play P-knuckle and shit and run a community center.
And listen, that's well within his right. You know what
I'm
saying?
That's a fact.
Like,
yeah.
He don't got to play in the league. And
I mean, he already got the he got the gaming contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got a contract. Get paid already.
And I mean, we talk about LeBron's son. The world is his oyster. Like he'll be able to make money a million different fucking ways that the average person could only dream about. You know what I'm saying? Like, this kid has so much opportunities in front of him, you know, of things that he can excel in. If he never wanted to touch a basketball again, he's going to be fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, just let him be. If he go to the league, you want to talk all the shit you want to talk. You know what I'm saying? Even though that in itself is still in the comments, so just making it to the league, you know what I'm saying, which he's on pace to do. You know what I'm saying? But let him get there first. You know what I'm saying? Let him rock. Let him have his childhood without having grown men hating.
Bro, they've been, even to LeBron James, something about him in him has kind of like just made him prepare himself for all of this. Like, cause it's a lot of stuff that he handles well. He doesn't really stand no shit. You know what I'm saying? If something happens or whatever, it's nothing too crazy or whatever. He'll make a statement and that's that. So I think his kids kind of inherited that as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody else kind of fall back and just chill and kind of do what they do. But I don't know. I don't know if they really give a fuck.
I mean, I don't think, I agree. I don't think they give a fuck because it mainly be isolated incidents like a Skip Bayless. Because for the most part, the people who criticize LeBron, it'd be purely about his game. It don't be about other shit. Skip be trying to find reasons to be mad at Bron.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Skip will, like, Bron could go for 38-10, but because he missed a free throw in the third quarter, it's like, oh, he missed that one free throw. Like, bro, did you watch the game or you just picking reasons to be mad at the guy now?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's why Bron really don't give a fuck, because for the most part, everyone acknowledges his greatness. Yeah. You know, and Tripp and I have had this conversation many times. Like, I always say, just because I don't have him number one on my list doesn't mean I don't appreciate his greatness. Shit.
Yeah.
To have him number two on the list is a fucking accomplishment when you think about how many people have played in the NBA. So to say you in the conversation and you number two is great in itself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it'd be every now and then it'd be them isolated guys like Skip Bayless, who don't really know the game, who never played the game at a high level. Shout out to what Jalen Rose said, because I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you know, guys who average 1.7 points on a JV team as juniors are trying to critique a kid, you know what I'm saying, who's playing at a high level. Because Bronny's playing at a high level. Bronny's playing in an international tournament right now.
Yep.
Word. Like, that's the crazy part. Yo.
There's a lot of motherfucking first round draft picks who ain't never played internationally, and Bronny's playing in an international tournament right now.
And so, doing this thing.
Right, and playing well. So it always be that motherfucker who never could play himself who gonna try to tell somebody else what they should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Skip wish he could get up for a dunk like that.
Skip wish he can get on the fucking floor.
Like, what? Like,
if you was playing JV as a junior, you was a bum, bro. Let's call it what it is.
Really, true story. You shouldn't play JV after you, like, maybe your freshman year. Like, we had a freshman team, we had a JV, and we had a varsity. But, okay, maybe if you play freshman, but you're not playing JV. I went to straight varsity, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then some people. And then you might play both, JV, varsity, or whatever. You have different, but yeah, nah. He was a bum.
I made my varsity baseball team as a freshman. I didn't make varsity basketball until I was a junior. But that's all right, though. Like I said, I was playing varsity as a junior, though.
Yeah,
I wasn't running around with the freshmen as a junior shit. And, like, how you on JV as a junior and still not getting minutes?
No, but then he was capping. Trying to justify the shit, because me and the coach, you know, he ain't fuck with me type shit. Like, what? Like, no, nigga, you trash. If you was nice, you would have been on the court. I don't give a fuck. If that coach don't fuck with you at all, but you fucking LeBron, you're playing. I don't give a fuck what you tell me. If you are nice, you are going to be on the court. Because high school coaches are still fighting for their jobs and their place, too. They're not going to put a talent like that and bench him just because he don't fuck with them. Nah. He's going to play that motherfucker and ride his coattails.
But yeah, first of all, 90% of the cats on JV is just learning how to play basketball. So if you was a junior, nah, let's keep it a buck. Let's keep it a buck. most of them is just learning how to, they don't know how to set a screen. They don't know a pick and roll. They don't know defensive assignments because they've been playing just regular basketball, right? So if you was a junior and you knew the game, even if the coach didn't fuck with you, all right, maybe you don't start on varsity, but you're on the varsity team. You probably come off the bench.
Yeah.
It's not good, bro.
How you criticizing the coach as a junior in high school talking about, yeah, that's why I was on JV. Nah, you was on JV because you went through tryouts and there was about 25 other motherfuckers that was better than you. But you probably came from a small town that didn't have a lot of people. So it was like, we need the bodies. We need them.
Oh, hold up.
And Skip, like, Skip is kind of tall, ain't he?
Yeah, because Stephen A is like 6'3". Him and Stephen A is about the same height. So he probably had, you know, he probably had a little length pause.
Did they give him like an honorary letter? Did he letter at least?
Nah, you can't get no letter on JV. You know that, Sean.
I mean, like in his senior year. Like his senior year.
Oh, you talking about the varsity letter? He probably did his senior year.
Yeah, like his senior year. Like maybe like his senior year, you know, they felt sorry. He like was, we had a guy like that in high school. His name was Wayne Corbett, right? He was on JV varsity. No, that's the JV varsity. He was on JV football and JV wrestling as a senior. And he got hurt in the last game his senior year going into one of the varsity games.
Damn shit.
So he had the worst luck ever, man.
To me, it's crazy. My high school wasn't even that big, but bro, if you wasn't playing varsity by that junior year, bro, just give it up. You trash, bro.
That's a fact.
That's in everything, because I had broke my collarbone before my junior year on football tryouts. So I knew already, like, all right, I'm giving up football. That's it for me. There was cats who was juniors who was like, yo, if I don't make varsity, that's it, bro. I'm not about to be with the JV team with them big-ass oversized jerseys. Because you know the JV team don't get none of the good equipment.
Word.
They about to be the scout team.
Listen, yeah.
It's not for you. And, you know, and I'm just going to say this to all of to our youth, all right? If it's not for you, it's not for you, and that's okay. There's a million other things you could do. But if you only averaging 1 point a game, maybe basketball is not for you. And it turns out it wasn't. Turns out, you know, media is for you. You know what I'm saying? That's your thing. You excel at that. But, you know, just ease up, you know what I'm saying? Because you wish you could fucking do 1,000th of what LeBron has done in the NBA. Your biggest fucking dream. You wish you could do anything like that. You could have sniffed the fucking NBA. You know what I'm saying? Like, so stop hating. Cause he be hating, like, and it be to the point where, like, you know, him, especially when he was going back and forth with Westbrook. And it's like, yo, you talking crazy cause you know this man can't put hands on you. You know what I'm saying? But if he could, he would put hands and feet on you, and it would not even be funny. So the way you talking is just, it's crazy to me.
For the ratings, man, like, it took me a minute to, like, really understand they do this shit for ratings, because I would take that shit personal. Like, what the fuck? Like, let's say you listen to that shit in the background, and you be like, what?
Nah, he took it like,
nah, he not for real. Though, bro. You get what I'm saying? Like, they do this, like a lot of the, you know, and the announcers, anchors, or whatever, they do that.
And I think...
And you have to put on your TV hat and say, okay, I know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think with Skip, because at the end of the day, you know, there's always like competition and when you're on the debate show, right? So, you know, Stephen A, when working with Stephen A has an enormous personality. So it's hard to compete with that sometimes. Shannon Sharp has an enormous personality and people fucking love and gravitate to Shannon Sharp. So it's like, nah, you gotta continue being extra and doing all of the bullshit to kind of try to keep up with Shannon Sharp. But it's corny. The shit that you be doing is corny. Like, he be really talking crazy to, you know, to certain people. And it's like, you know these, like, you know the how motherfuckers would want to react with you talking the way you be talking. You know what I'm saying? So, like, relax, man. Because when you see these people in person, you know, things might not work out for you the way you think it will.
You're going to run down on him. Let me get a drop.
Oh, shit.
Now, that's a super fact, though. He know, like, that shit that he was saying about Russell Westbrook, he would never say to Russ's face.
Nope.
He would never say that.
But was talking super gangster, though.
Right. He would never say that. And like I said, it's one thing to be like, yo, Russ ain't playing well. Russ is struggling. Russ ain't the player he used to be. But now you calling this man out his name, Westbrook.
This down the third.
You talking shit. Right. Now you trying to play yourself like, stop, bro. Westbrook, his 1 year career was greater than anything you ever did on the court. Let alone his entire career. Like, let's stop. You know what I'm saying? But like you said, Sean, you know, these dudes be so thirsty for the attention of, yo, I'm a grab a headline today. That shit is corny as hell to me.
Yeah. Yo, so let's pivot. So something else has been in the headline. Ann Hatchie, she was, I think she was on Sex in the City. And she also recently was like kind of caught up with some of that stuff with the sex trafficking thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it that way. But she you know, she died recently. And I think it's like a documentary coming out also about that, or whatever. But yeah, she just recently passed away.
Yeah, the joint was crazy. I don't know if y'all saw the video. So like, she crashed her car into somebody's crib.
Uh-huh.
Then the shit caught on fire. They had to pull her out the crib. But there's an actual video from like the camera. Because they had to wrap up in blankets because her body was so burned. And then, like, she went into shock. So she's trying to come out the blankets while she's on a gurney. Then she went into a coma and died. The shit is wild, man. There was some other allegations, too. But, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say it's the conspiracies and theories.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And get into all that. I think it was an accident that led to it. But everybody now got a theory of, you know, this was all planned. The powers that be and all that shit.
Yeah. But it is ironic that it's happening because, like I said, it was a documentary coming out, too. And, you know, we all know it was a lot of nasty business going around with Epstein and all those, you know, those people involved with that lady Giselle, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. But she was from Sex and the City, right?
She was on a bunch of stuff, bro. She's been in mad movies. She was in John Q with Denzel.
Okay.
And she used to date Ellen.
Got you. All right. You got to refresh my memory.
There was all types of rumors because they were saying, too, that, like, I heard, like, they had taken off life support, but they were trying to say, they took off life support because she was an organ donor and they found a match for her. But I think her family had already decided to take off life support even before there was a match because, like I said, she was so badly burned and they had to put it into a coma.
Yeah.
And then they was like, she wasn't, you know what I'm saying? She wasn't progressing. So it was going to be one of them things where it's either we're going to leave her hooked up to machines until a conclusion or you guys want to pull the plug. So I don't think it's as deep as some people want to make it seem. Pause. I think it was just a terrible accident that she lost, you know, that ultimately lost her life in.
Yeah.
Well, listen, rest in peace. You know, that's all I can say at this point, man. But with that being said, man, let's go ahead and get
wrap it up. I don't even think we can say we're shooting the shit.
We're going to say it right now. It's shooting the shit.
Shooting the shit, man.
Shooting the motherfucking shit.
Who was vibing?
Right, let me find some theme music for us to roll out on. You know what? I know what I want to play right now. I was talking about this dude earlier, and I was just saying he was my favorite in this genre, this particular genre of music. So let me find something. Let me see. I want to play. We going out with the good brother Tego Calderon.
Tego.
Mhm. That's what we gonna do.
Tengo Calderón pa' que retosen, vuelo a nuevo, me siento al día en la mía, mami. Ya ando bien perfumado y la paca por si no fían, sin misterio. Llénense de placer, que se acaba el mundo y no vine pa' perder. Apaguen los celulares, repórtense a sus hogares y sí que vamos a hacer maldades. Muevan su pum-pum cuando yo le tire mi tuntum. En la cintura traigo mi tuntum, mami, yo quiero agarrarte por el pelo. Mientras te tiro mi lenguaje,